Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN. I'm joined by Steve Conroy and Jamal Mayers for our breakdown of the Blackhawks' first round sweeping at the hands of the Nashville Predators. We'll get to that in just a second, but you can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Steve Conroy joins us on the Hawks Talk Podcast. All right, you've had a handful of hours, Steve, to kind of digest what happened in that four-game series against the Nashville Predators. How did the team with the best record in the West go down so quickly?
Well, I think it was a number of factors, but I think the underlying theme and maybe the biggest factor was that Nashville wanted it a little more. They had a little more compete level, a little more will, a little more want, and they were peaking at the right time. I mean, you know, here's a team, the Nashville Predators, who I saw play about a week before the end of the regular season, and they were having a tough time scoring goals, and they looked a little disjointed, and Pekka Rinne looked pretty ordinary, and it all came together at the right time. Peter Laviolette pushed the right buttons. He got some real good line combinations going. And of course, their number one line, I think, was probably the key to the whole series. Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, and Victor Arvidsson were, you know, difference makers each and every one of those four games that they used to sweep the Blackhawks with. So, number of factors contributing, but you know, I think more than anything, it was they wanted it more than we did, and I guess that leaves a bunch of questions for Stan Bowman and his staff to try and figure out during the summer months.
You know, I don't think that we have given Nashville its due. I do think they were a better team than their point total in the regular season indicated. I thought they played magnificent in this brief series. But the fact that, you know, we keep saying the Hawks didn't find the compete level, and we can go back over the 13 periods, including almost a full overtime session, and point to the Predators carrying a bulk of that play. Maybe sometimes if you can't find the gear, maybe the gear's not to be found, and maybe there was more roster issues than we were led to believe from the regular season. Could that be part of it too?
Well, Pat, I think you're onto something there, and I don't think we have to look any farther than the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you know, remember, you go back about 9 years ago, and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals against Detroit, and they were real close. And then the next year, they win the Stanley Cup. I believe it was 09. And then the year after that, they lost, I think it was in the second round, and then a couple of first-round losses. Now, granted, Sidney Crosby was going through some concussion issues, and he'd missed some of the regular season. And I think one of those playoffs, he didn't play at all. But you know, you're talking about after winning a Stanley Cup, the next 6 years, they get bounced in the first round. I think it was three times, and then they get bounced in the second round a couple of times. But what I noticed from that the cup run last year, they've got a lot of new faces, and they've got a lot of, you know, secondary support. And, of course, the usual suspects are still there. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. I mean, that's their core, but, you know, they add guys like Kessel and Hornquist and Bonino and even their young guys now. You look at Jake Guentzel, who's got five goals. He's a big part of it. So, you know, I think you're right as far as the Blackhawks go. They were looking for another gear. Maybe it's not there yet because, you know, the horses aren't there. And I think that's what Stan Bowman's going to be looking at this summer. You know, we thought we had one of the strongest teams in the league, certainly the strongest team in the Western Conference. you know, how come it didn't work in the playoffs? And, you know, I think you talk about that next level, and that's what playoff hockey is all about, is playing with a little more energy, with a little more grit and grind, and the Blackhawks couldn't find it. So you bring in some other guys, I think you're going to have to. And listen, there's some young guys in the pipeline, and, you know, Ryan Hartman had a great regular season. I thought he was okay in the playoffs. I'm certainly not going to put any blame on him. He's going to get better. And a guy like Nick Schmaltz, who started with the Blackhawks this year, got sent to the minors, and then finished on a real high note, he's going to get better too. But I think there's going to be have to be some other pieces that, that come in to help supplement those guys, you know. And that's what Pittsburgh did, you know, bringing in a Phil Kessel or a Patrick Hornquist. You know, the list goes on and on. They brought in a number of guys to help, you know, to help the key core guys. And I think that's what Stan Bowman's probably going to be looking to do.
And you know, Steve, you look back at the recent success from the Hawks. They've done it with speed. They've done it with skill. They've been that that fighter who just keeps taking the hits and the pounding series after series. But this was one series where the speed was lacking. The skill, I guess you could say, was lacking. And while we can look at the roster and say nearly seven guys scored 20 goals or more, in the playoffs, you need to have at least one guy, sometimes more, on a line that are willing to go between the circles, between the dots, the dirty areas, and do things where there's not a lot of time and space, because that's how you score in the playoffs. So it's almost like sometimes you need to have a roster that works for 82 games where the compete level's not as high, the time and space, there's more of it, and then the one that pays off in April and May that is able to handle stacking, you know, the blue line and having to dump and chase, you know. So it, to me, it looks like they need more of those players that are willing, that have that edge to their, that playoff edge to their game. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. And, you know, ask any coach about playoff hockey and it's, you know, they'll tell you it's tougher to find time and space anywhere on the ice, but especially between the dots. You know, they talk about that house, you know, draw an imaginary line in your own zone from, you know, the two face-off dots out to the blue line and then, you know, peek at the middle of the blue line. You travel in that area, you're not going to find a lot of room and you're going to pay a price. But, you know, I go back to the Blackhawks. I think any team is capable of that because I look at Nashville and, you know, I talked about their number one line, the Ryan Johansson line. You look at a guy like Victor Arvidsson, who's only 5'8", 5'9", 175, 180 pounds. He was in the blue paint all series long. He was paying the price and he was getting rewarded. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have big bodies. But here's the thing about Nashville. They're big bodies who can move. I mean, a lot of these guys can skate. Forsberg, I think, is about 210 pounds. So he's a pretty big body. But you go down their line, and there's speed there on every single line. And I think that's what Pittsburgh has, too. You know, and I watched a little bit of that series, and Pittsburgh just knocked off the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, I think that was five games. But, you know, Columbus's MO was, let's run the Pittsburgh Penguins out of the rink each and every night. We're going to pound them. And I think they had over 200 hits in the five games. So, you know, they're getting 40 hits a game. But it didn't work because, you know, Pittsburgh was willing to pay the price, but they're also as quick. And, you know, sometimes you can use that against the other team. It draws guys out of position. So, you know, I don't think necessarily, you know, the Blackhawks, it's not going to be a full makeover, but you're right. I think there's got to be at least one guy in each line who's willing to pay the price, who's willing to go to those tough areas and pay a price. Because as important as it is during the regular season, we talk about it, I think it's twice as important in the playoffs. And that's probably the biggest difference in postseason hockey is those areas, the time and space area, the prime real estate is really tough to find.
And, you know, I think we expected a lot from the young players on this roster, and they did mature as the regular season went on. But then for us to think that, well, now their first taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're going to adapt quickly to that and become difference makers. That's a lot for a young player. And every line kind of had like one or maybe even more, two of those types of players. So as Stan looks to reshape the roster, do you believe he's going to almost have to go to a member of the core, and that core can be seven or eight players, to find the salary cap room to add a veteran forward or D-man who can help take this team to the next level?
Well, I think that's a real good point, Pat. And if you're talking about one of the core players, look, you're talking about a guy who's making $5 or $6 or $7 million. So, you know, if you can free up that kind of cap space, and listen, you're going to have to take something in return. So, you know, let's say you get a defenseman who's making $3 million a year, but who's a top four guy. Well, now all of a sudden you've got another $2 or $3 million to play with, and you can maybe supplement with a couple of youngsters who are in your pipeline. So although you're getting rid of a core piece, probably a guy who's won three Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks, you're bringing in probably a younger guy who is making half the money, and now you're freeing up another $3 million. So, you know, that's the one thing about the NHL and the present salary cap situation. Everyone's got to fit under it, and the more successful you are, the tougher it is, because when you win Stanley Cups, you get paid. And the Blackhawks have learned that the hard way, and Stan Bowman's done it before. He's remade this team after the 2010 Stanley Cup, and, you know, look at some of the names that left. You figured that how are they ever going to get back to the finals? Well, they did it. It was a few years, but, you know, you get rid of guys like Andrew Ladd and Christopher Stieg and Dustin Byfuglien and Troy Brouwer. The list goes on and on, how many guys they had to get rid of after that first Stanley Cup. It is possible. But that all being said, you know, I think if you get rid of a guy who's one of your core players, you better be getting something really good in return. And I think Stan Bowman's, you know, he's experienced enough to know that. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, another $3 million to play with. And, you know, most entry-level contracts are pegged under $1 million. You might be able to bring in another two or three guys that you think might be able to make a difference.
Great stuff, Steve Conrad, all season long. Thank you for all that you did on the Hawks Talk podcast and, of course, on Blackhawks pre, post, and in-between periods. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Hey, thank you, Pat. Really enjoyed it.
Up next, Jamal Mayers will join me. We'll talk about the young players on this team. Are they part of the plan, or is it still unclear their future with the Hawks? That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Welcome back to the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by former Blackhawks Stanley Cup champion Jamal Mayers. Hey, Jammer.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Let's start quickly with your thumbnail analysis on how this went down for the Blackhawks. How did the number one seed in the West go so quietly in their first round matchup against the Predators?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that's something they're going to have to answer, all summer long, is how does this team that, you know, seemed to play so well through the regular season get so outperformed and outplayed during the postseason? And, you know, for me, I just don't think they had enough sandpaper. I just don't think they had enough grit. I think this team was too easy to play against, and Nashville really showed all the weaknesses the Hawks have.
So as you take a look at what Stan Bowman has to do this off season, do you feel to reshape this roster to find the player that excels in the postseason, that has an edge to their game, that goes to the tough areas on the ice, that he's probably going to have to find some salary for that person by saying goodbye to a member of the core?
Yeah, you really hope that's not the case. And, you know, honestly, I hope they have someone internally that can fill that roster spot. You know, you're looking for someone who plays in the mold of an Andrew Shaw, and you could give up some of the offense. Again, two guys who could fill the same role, but essentially you need someone who can actually play in the top six, which isn't easy to find, that's willing to go to those tough areas and will do it when it matters, which is in the playoffs.
As you take a look at some of the young players, we're going to I'm going to name the player, and you tell me if they are part of the plan or it's unclear. Let's start off with John Hayden. Part of the plan or unclear?
Yeah, it's part of the plan.
How about Thomas Yurko?
Definitely part of the plan.
Tanner Caro?
Yeah, absolutely part of the plan.
Tyler Mott?
Unclear.
Gustav Forsling?
Part of the plan.
Michael Kempney?
Part of the plan.
Ryan Hartman?
Part of the plan.
Nick Schmaltz?
Part of the plan.
So you got a lot of the key members that we saw throughout the season at times part of the plan. We also have some players on the horizon that are excelling at different levels. We also have some UFAs and restricted free agents. When you look at the unrestricted free agents, Desjardins, Oduya, Campbell, and Darling, do you think we'll see any of those four back?
No.
And if you look at the restricted free agents, Yurko, Panik, Rasmussen, and Kempney, how many of those guys get signed?
I think they all get re-signed because you have to protect your assets. Mm-hmm. And maybe a guy like Rasmussen gets moved solely on the basis that Caro has outperformed him and maybe took his job.
Gotcha. As you look at the challenges that Stan has, a lot of the core have limited movement clauses or no trade clauses. As a former player, explain to us how a general manager may work with a player that they would like to move who has one of these clauses and how they might work with them behind the scenes to try to make everybody happy.
Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, Pat. It's not nice. They don't play nice.
Okay.
Okay. I was playing with Doug Waite, okay, good friend of mine, called me over to his house at 1:30 in the afternoon, which is very abnormal. We both have kids and family. Why wouldn't he just see me the next day? I walked his wife crying in the kitchen. They just redid their house. We go downstairs in the basement. He grabs me a beer, and he says to me, listen, I just talked to Larry Plow. They have a deal for me to get traded to Anaheim. And he said, they used to think about it because I have a no move. Told them I don't want to go. And I said, because we were a terrible team at the time.
Right.
He did not want to. And I said, do what you want to do. I mean, if you guys are happy here and you've, but they have a good team, you have a chance to win a cup. You should think about it. Not, I don't want to be selfish. As a teammate, I want you to stay. 2 days later, the team came back to him and said, we're making the deal. We can embarrass you if you want and waive you and send you down to the minors, but we're taking this deal. So what did he have to do? He took the deal.
Right.
So a no movement means nothing. The team can make you feel like a piece of crap and trade you. It doesn't matter. You don't want to stay where you're not wanted. And you hope that it doesn't come to that. But at the end of the day, that could happen. So the team decides what's going to happen to this whole makeup of what they have as a group. If they decide they're going to move a key piece, then they're going to do it.
Yeah, regardless of the no-trade clause or the limited movement, if the team really wants the player gone, they're probably going to get their wish granted, right?
Well, who wants to stay where they're not wanted? Think about it.
Yeah, like, no. Yeah, you're right.
We want to move you. We have to give me three teams to trade you to. Are you going to be like, I'm going to give you these three teams. and you know they don't have any room for your salary, first of all, if you're smart. And then they say, well, that's not really a team we're talking to. What do you think about Winnipeg? And you say, I don't really want to go to Winnipeg. And they're going to say, yeah, but we already have a deal for Winnipeg. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean,
you're moving to Winnipeg.
Yeah, you're moving to Winnipeg. Couple quick questions here before we spring you. Do you look at the championship window for this team still slightly open, or did this send a message that it's almost closed and a rebuild is here?
No, I wouldn't go that far, Pat. I think that you still have to put a lot of value in 109 points. That's a lot of points. That's a great season. I think that the tendency is to overreact. I think last year was an anomaly. You're playing against a team in St. Louis that went to the conference finals. This year stings a little bit more, there's no question. But you still can't overreact. This is a team that could certainly bounce back with a few minor tweaks and find themselves back in the conference finals competing for a Stanley Cup. So I think the tendency is to overreact. I would caution on the not to do that, and I think that they're smart enough not to do that.
Everybody wants to know what went on with Jonathan Toews. I mean, Kane and Toews are basically Kane is a point per game average in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 121 points in 123 games. In the series against Nashville, just 2 points, a goal and a helper. Toews, 108 points in 124 career postseason games. He only ends up with the goal and the assist. What did you see from the two cornerstones from this franchise, and what do you think they're thinking about right now?
Well, they're not happy. But honestly, I hate to point the finger somewhere else, but their line mates were invisible. Think about who played well on their line. Who played well on Kane's line in this series?
Nobody.
Okay. Who played well on Toews' line?
Nobody. You can say that almost about every line, you know. When you only score three goals in 13 periods, it's there's a lot of fingers to be pointed.
I mean, I think I hate to bring back a guy like Andrew Shaw, but I never liked that. It hurt to see him go. I knew it was going to cost him in February. I certainly knew it was going to cost him in May. And they didn't even get to May. He is the pulse. They need a guy like him. I was hoping that, you know, they could fill that role with different guys. But you need to have guys in your lineup that'll drag you into the fight. And I don't think they had anybody like that in their lineup that forced them to play a game they're uncomfortable playing.
Well, it's going to be an interesting off season. We thank you for your analysis all season long on Blackhawks pre and post game and in between periods. And thanks for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast, and have a good summer, Jammer.
You too, buddy. Looking forward to next year.
Sounds good. Jamal Mayers, former Stanley Cup champion from your Chicago Blackhawks. So thanks to Jammer and Steve Conroy. And remember, you can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll talk to you throughout the summer.